Welcome to Resilience Rock Sales, your front row seat to rocking your sales game. I'm your host, Stacey Kopass. Today's episode is brought to you by the Academy of Resilience Inner Circle. For more information, head to academyofresilience.com.au. Now on with the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Resilience Rock Sales. Today, I am joined by Todd Hartley. Todd, welcome to the show.
It's so great to be here, Stacey. Thank you so much.
And I'm super excited to be chatting with Todd and also to share Todd with you, the audience, especially because Todd came as a wonderful, wonderful introduction from Neil Tricarico. And for those who have been listening since the beginning of the podcast, Neil was actually episode one of the podcast. I guess one of the beauties of starting an adventure like this, I know I talked about it for 8 years before I actually finally published something, but I think probably one of the best byproducts of this is the opportunity then to be able to connect and meet so many amazing people through the introductions to the people that you're chatting with. And I think that, again, like when we're talking about sales, when we're talking about relationships and building our networks and stuff like that, I'm finding that doing the podcast has been a fabulous way to do that. So I'm super grateful. Shout out to Neil for the introduction. And also, if you haven't listened to Neil's episode, go back to episode one. Amazing, amazing episode and amazing person. But where I'd love to start, Todd, is if you could just give us a little bit of the Todd backstory and what's led you to be doing what you're doing today.
Well, speaking of Neil Tricarico, one of my favorite people, I ran into him last week in Los Angeles. We got our dads together and our dads have never met. But to give you a little background, I own a digital marketing agency for 4 years. I led digital at iHeartRadio for 7 of the largest nationally syndicated talk shows in America, and then burned out on everybody's fresh hot take of what was happening in the news and sports and politics and what Nicki Minaj was wearing last night. And I decided to get out of the radio business and open an agency called Wirebuzz. And since then, my career has absolutely taken off. We serve Fortune 500 companies and aggressive startups and some solopreneurs and help them go to market and convince and convert at faster rates. But like, I didn't do any sales until I opened an agency. And when I opened up an agency, that's when I first started selling and I realized how friggin' hard it was. And it took 11 months before anybody said yes to me. And that 11th month period, I burned through all the savings and I was flat out broke. And what really moved the needle for me ushered me into the next great chapter of my career because I was a marketer trying to sell and people weren't buying. So I said, screw it. I'll just create little videos for people because I realized they would have a hard time picturing what I was going to do for them. So I created a little video and I walked their team through it and I put the information up on the screen and I introduced myself to the extended team that I had yet to meet. And before I knew it, booyah, people started buying from me and I started closing big deals. And I got my first check. I got three checks, the three different companies, they paid in full for the entire next year, all on the same day it arrived. It was December 29th. Of 2010, and I went from being friggin' broke to having to hire people, and my career has never been the same.
Oh my gosh, Merry Christmas to you for 2010, wasn't it?
There were no gifts on Christmas, let me tell you. But after Christmas is when we started to celebrate.
That's amazing. And I think your story is, for people that are listening, particularly those that are running their own businesses and things like that, is so many people get into a business because they love or they're passionate about or they want to serve a particular audience and they're good at a particular skill set. And then the reality sets in that you need to sell whatever it is
you need to sell.
And as you said, the 11 months without a sale, like what a lesson in resilience that was.
Yeah, you have to be willing to keep picking yourself up from the mat and talking faith and confidence into yourself. And fast forward to like the beginning of COVID, I've already been teaching businesses all over the world how to use video in their sales process, big businesses. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, Tony Robbins reached out and asked me to train Neil Tricarico's team on how to sell using the power of video. So I trained all of their employees on my strategies, and revenue went through the roof to the point where Tony said, brother, you got to start teaching this to people all over the world. And he pushed me out onto the stage. And now I'm just last year, I did 15 appearances for Tony. I've got 3 appearances teaching in the next 30 days for him. And my life got crazy. And so now I'm on the biggest stage in the world, teaching people how to be resilient salespeople that use video to get to the magic word yes more often.
That's incredible. Like, what a journey from just figuring it out as you went, and almost, it sounds like, accidentally coming across the solution. And then, yep, as you said, fast forward to 2020, like you were ready. You were so ready for people not being able to go out and do things the way that they did. Like, what?
Stacey, it was like, it's so weird to go through an international pandemic and then have your stuff become really sexy. My training material became essential, but it required a pandemic. That's a weird feeling.
It is. But again, this is what it comes down to. Again, a key part of resilience is being able to grab those opportunities.
Yes.
In the adversity, in the challenges, in the uncertainty. And that's just awesome. And so from that experience and from what you're seeing with the people that you've been training, What role do you feel that resilience does play in being successful in sales?
Well, you look at all the biggest problems in sales, and all of the biggest problems have to do with a lack of resiliency from the salespeople. Let me break down a few, if you don't mind. Let's talk about the most expensive first loss in revenue happens when the people don't show up for the meeting. The first meeting, the no-show rate on average is around 30%. And what's happening there? The salespeople are sitting back on their ass. It's on the calendar. Life is good. And then 30% of the time they don't show up. And what do most salespeople do? Most salespeople walk around the organization virtually or in person, and they're like, I need leads. Somebody pump me some leads. But the truth is, the resilient salesperson sees that on their calendar, and they create a video, and they're like, hey, Stacy, it's Todd Hartley. I'm looking forward to our meeting today at 9 Eastern, noon Pacific. And Stacy, this will be the most important meeting that you have all year for doing X, Y, and Z. I'll see you later on today at noon Eastern. Double check your calendar. Like, when somebody does that, when a salesperson steps in the gap where they're losing money and they say, this isn't the organization's responsibility, it is mine, and I'm going to own this, and I'm going to make sure that Stacy shows up, amazing things happen. They now have 30% more leads. Like, I saw Stacy on my calendar today. What did I do? I sent Stacy a little note. I'm excited, right? I'm excited to be interviewed by you. And that's just the first moment of resiliency, because ghosting kicks in. But most salespeople quit after the first response that isn't replied. Like, it's like 50% of salespeople quit after the first email that goes unanswered. They're like, oh my God, they don't like me. Maybe they found somebody else, or they didn't find me charming. And the reality is, it's like 94% of sales requires 5 interactions from a salesperson without the prospect replying. So Stay in the friggin' game. And then the final one is like, when you submit that proposal, you have to be resilient there also, because there's new people that are joining the conversation in most sales experiences, because sales is a collaboration. Like, at the end, you have to collaborate. If you're going to make a purchase and I'm trying to sell you something, Stacy, you're going to turn to your business partner or a member of the team, or maybe a family member or a spouse. And you collaborate, but most salespeople surrender. And instead of being resilient and put their foot in that gap and make sure they're there at the decision table, which is a video for everybody to go through and watch it, so everybody has clarity and certainty. When that happens, you just close more deals. But most salespeople aren't emotionally prepared for rejection and how to fight and win through rejection and to come out on the yes side of the deal.
That's such an awesome breakdown of those different areas of sales where that resilience is so important, Todd. So I really appreciate you sharing that. And also, I love that you mentioned responsibility there, because responsibility is the first chapter in my book on resilience. I think it all starts with that. And it's also one of the things that's very tricky for people to take that ownership of these things. But yeah, it's where it all starts, doesn't it? And I also love that you've mentioned there about these little touch points where you can use video, and that you just so wonderfully shared a super specific example, actually did it right here and showed our listeners just how simple it is to do that. Because I think when salespeople are thinking about video, they're thinking, oh, I need to be putting video on YouTube, or I need to be putting video on Instagram and all that sort of stuff. So I really love that you've really honed in and you've just highlighted how video can be used so simply. And everyone's got their phone in their hand all the time.
Not only do they have their phone in their hand, but they are four times more likely to watch video than to read. And most salespeople are sending emails that have a 20% open rate, which means 80% of the time, your shit isn't getting read. And worse than that, if you have a 20% open rate, then 20% of every proposal you submit, they're not even looking at your PDF because they haven't even opened the damn thing. It's enough to make you pull out your hair. So like, the best salespeople are the ones that are like, where is our money being lost? And how can I plug that leak in revenue so it doesn't dribble out? And the worst salespeople sit back and they expect the organization to do all of that work for them. And that's why they keep hopping from job to job while there's other people in the organization that do the dirty work and identify where the leaks are, plug those leaks in the pipeline, and they're the ones that are crushing their quota each and every quarter.
That's super awesome, Rebecca. Just to shine that light for people to go, look, there's so much they can be doing, but again, it's that constant battle, isn't it? Particularly in a bigger organization, between sales and marketing. It's like, marketing, it's your job to get me these leads. And whereas a good salesperson is going to be going, you know, how can I actually get more of these leads myself, rather than relying on marketing to hand them on a platter, isn't it?
Yeah, the best salespeople. I want you to think about the best salespeople you know. Their head is up when they're in public. They walk into a grocery store and they're like, good morning. Right? Like, they create opportunities. Now think back when you had a lot of single friends. Weren't the single friends that had the most dates, their head was up, they were like, hello, like, they're a friend maker. And the best salespeople make friends, they generate opportunities, and they nurture that prospect through each step of the process. And if somebody doesn't reply back to them, they don't get offended. They actually pour more love out, right? Because they're abundant. They pour more helpfulness. They add more value into the world. And what is that? The net result of that is they get more people in their funnel than the person who has their head down. Like, the worst salesperson's the one that's like, I don't have time for new friends. The best salesperson is always walking around making more friends.
And I love that you mentioned there the abundance as well. And I think just those little mindset shifts, isn't it? Because we bring in what we put out. And if you have that mindset of, there is always other opportunities. And again, as you said, about always adding value rather than going, oh my gosh, I'm taking this personally and feeling down or negative about it, going, well, oh my gosh, no, I can just put more out there. And I love that. And even just, it's more fun too.
It's so much more fun. Here's the metaphor that I have. I look at myself, I have two choices. I can be a faucet where I turn the spigot on and give people information, and that has a limited supply. And there's a lot of people that are walking around with a scarcity mindset in the sales process. But I walk around like a fountain. A fountain shares freely and then recycles that information, just like water, and pushes it back out again. And you know what the difference is? People stand around a fountain and appreciate them and find value, and they share it with their friends. I want to be a fountain of valuable information. And somebody said to me one day, somebody in our office building here at Wirebuzz, they said to me, dude, you give too much away. I think you're giving away all your secret sauce on social media. And I'm like, I don't think I'm giving away enough, because your price of admission in people's lives is adding value and to teach and coach and inspire and to guide them to that breakthrough that they're looking for. Eventually, that guy who said, I think you're giving away too much, he approached me in the hallway and he was like, do you guys do websites and videos for companies? I'm like, yeah, bro, that's what we do. He goes, oh, I need to hire you. And in my head, I go, and he thought I was giving away too much, but I gave just enough for him to write me a big fat check.
It's perfect, isn't it? Because there is that. And again, that comes back to the scarcity mindset, doesn't it? It comes back to that. Well, if I give them away, if I give all this away, well, what are they going to pay me to do? But there's always something. And a lot of the time, it's like you can give the information, but the people aren't going to actually implement that information. So,
right.
So yeah, being able to do that. And I love the fountain description. Like, I've not heard it described that way, especially as you said, that added little piece around it is that recycling and bringing it back around. And
yeah.
And I guess that even like if you're looking at it from the video perspective, the video does that, doesn't it? It's like you can post a video and then that person can share that video. And again, it's just that piece can keep coming around and around. And particularly if it's evergreen content, isn't it? That video on YouTube could be generating you leads for 10 years down the track.
And then anytime you're in a meeting with somebody, like video is a salesperson's favorite tool. They just don't know it yet. And anytime somebody, like in a sales process, if somebody's confused and you do nothing except go wah, wah, wah and explain it in the meeting, you lose. But if you recognize that that's a leak in your sales process and you plug that sucker, and then the way you do it is you just create a video for them teaching that spot where they were confused. And instead of just having your mouth move and have voices come out, what if you put some information up on the screen next to you and you show them visually the answer with like three bullets and maybe an image? What ends up happening is it clicks in their head because we're visual learners. We make buying decisions visually. Like, when I was single, way, way back in the day, I was a visual dater, right? Like, we all were visual daters. This is how we make decisions. Like, I picked this outfit out for you today, Stacy, because I knew that I'd look good in this outfit. And so when we present information back to a prospect, when they're confused, instead of thinking that our conversation in person or on Zoom was sufficient, what if we reached into our library of videos and we sent it to the prospect that answered that same confusion point that somebody 2 days ago had and last week had? And then now we're a fountain again. We just recycle the answer, but do it in such a visual way. And this doesn't require a video production crew. Like, anybody anywhere can put their information up on the screen and walk somebody through a simple two-step, three-step process where as they're doing a video, they just click over and they're like, here are the four things that you could do. And you just start teaching people. And before you know it, they're like, oh, now I get it. And then they want to hire you. It's so easy. We got to be visual.
And it's never been easier to do that, has it?
No.
Like,
that's the trick. And if you get that video in front of them, you can get super creepy and friggin' spy on their ass. Because if they watch the video, you should get notified on your device. Yo, Stacy just watched 98% of that video that I sent her. And in your head, you're like, you should be saying, well, she watched it all the way through. I mean, Stacy's a buyer. She gave me the attention span of a buyer. And then you know who to prioritize. But most salespeople aren't resilient enough. They allow this to be a game of chance. But the best salespeople, the ones that are always on the top of the leaderboard in their organization, they don't allow chance to get in. They plug the leaks where the leads are dribbling out, and they inject themselves and they become the greatest teacher that prospect has ever interacted with. And those are the people that get hired.
That's awesome. And it's just such a process of continuous improvement then, isn't it? It's as you see this, and it's like, if you have an experience with one particular potential buyer, the probability is you're going to encounter that again at some point, aren't you?
Yes.
So as you said, if you can then create a video for that situation, and then you've got that, as you said, in your library for down the track, and then I can sort of see then there's the potential then to then build those into the sales process proactively, so that you're not hitting those, as you said, yes, those leaks or those stumbling blocks along the way. And I think the other thing that's cool too, I think in a sales conversation too, and then there's a tendency for a salesperson probably to go on a little bit more than they need to, isn't it? And talk too much in those situations. But also what I also love about what you've shared there is that video can then be taken away and then they can go back and look at that again. Or they can then share that explanation with another stakeholder in the process, because the more that we're seeing these days, particularly the larger the organization, the more stakeholders and decision makers and influencers there are involved in the process. So these tools can be super helpful in those situations.
Girl, you are spot on. You see, there are three psychological needs that every buyer is grappling with. And our job as a salesperson is to exceed those three psychological needs. Can I do that with you real quick, tell you what they are?
You held us in suspense now, so you can't get away with
it. Oh, I got you in suspense. Okay.
So it's really... get away with not sharing these now.
Right. But every salesperson that's resilient, that wants to win at another level, that wants to be on the leaderboard and start celebrating with their coworkers and their family more often, needs to be aware of three psychological needs. And when you're going through the buying experience, you're very aware of these three psychological needs. So here it is. The first psychological need, and you guys should write this down, is clarity. They need clarity about what their problem is and what your solution is. And this is why, like, the first part of sales training is always pin that person down and get them to define what the problem is. And once you've defined the problem, then clearly explain your solution. The second psychological need is certainty. And when I hear certainty, what I'm really thinking is they need to know your credibility, that you've done this before, that this isn't your first rodeo, that you've helped other people achieve that same breakthrough and transformation. This is where testimonials come in. Because one of the most common questions salespeople get is, yeah, that's great, Stacy, but have you ever done anything like this for somebody like dun dun dun, dun me? Every salesperson has that. So if you answer that and you tell the story, you reinforce it following up with a video that's visual, that introduces you to the people, your prospect, to the people that you've met. Third psychological need that every buyer has is the need to collaborate with somebody on their team in their inner circle. That could be a business partner or a CFO or a spouse. But every big purchase, meaning like over $500, people have a conversation with somebody else. So if you own that as the salesperson and you make the decision that every time somebody's going to evaluate me and every time I submit a proposal, I'm going to submit a proposal video that walks the different decision makers on that team through the entire process, booyah, you're going to see about 75% more revenue. But you have to be aware of those three psychological needs: clarity, certainty, and the need to collaborate.
All the C's make it easier to remember as well.
When you're a speaker, you're like, it's got to be a C. It's got to be in your brain, you're thinking about how to make it easy for people to hold on to, because that's the trick. If they don't retain it, it isn't worth anything.
Exactly. So as far as you're saying about doing the video to walk people through the proposal stage there, is that something then that you then submit that in conjunction with something that's written? And that's how you do it? So you've got the two parts there for them to be able to do?
Yes, but you lead with the video because you know they're really friggin' lazy.
Okay.
Just like you. Just like me. You know, none of us really want to read about some company that we're really not interested in. We're interested in our problem, and we love to sit in our dirty diaper all the time with our problem and get agitated, but we're not as excited about the solution because it's going to cost us money. So the way you just make it easy is you walk everybody through it with a video, right? And you turn on your charm and you rock that dimple.
Ding, ding.
And you connect with them and you let them know that you have their best interest at heart. You look into the lens so they know you're focused on them and walk them through, and you put the proposal up on the screen with you. And in doing so, they've got your face, which people do business with, people they have relationships with, and they've got that material, and they may watch it a couple of times, but what they will do is they will share it with the other decision makers. How can I be so sure? Because I've seen the data. And people are three times more likely to share the video of a proposal than to share the email because they're intimidated to talk to their colleagues or their mentor. The mentor's on another level because it's their mentor. If they're interacting with their spouse is already exhausted hearing them talk about the problem. So you have to just make it really easy for people to say yes, and video's that tool.
That's awesome. As you said, just making it easy for people to say yes. I remember years ago, it was a workshop around sales and stuff that I was in, and they called it the Waymish. It's like, why are you making it so hard?
And, yes.
And I just, that really stuck with me. So I think then you're presenting such a great solution to that. And again, we've got the tools, and you mentioned the data, because obviously data is super, super important in sales, and particularly to be able to figure out, well, what's working, what's not, where to prioritize your energy and your focus. So are there what specific tools are you using then to then create, deliver, and track this information when you are doing these things via video?
It's a great question. I can assure all of you we did not plan this question in advance. But Stacey, I developed what are the three psychological needs again? We've got clarity and certainty and the ability to collaborate. And I created a tool called Clarity, and it is a video selling tool. And I will put it up on the screen, but it allows salespeople to own the entire path to yes and to create compelling videos for their prospects. And there it is. Clarity.video is the URL. We are just coming out of beta testing right now, but Clarity allows you to create the videos and proposals, to track all your leads, to get super friggin' creepy and to spy on people, and then to manage all your deals, because you need to be able to see your deals and have reasonable confidence in hitting your goals. So on the deal board, all the stages, you can customize your stages, because maybe you have a first meeting and you have a second meeting where maybe you're doing a proposal and then a negotiation phase and to send the contract. All the deals in each one of these columns can be weighted differently with different probability of closing. So you know if you're going to hit your quota or not before the end of the quarter, because you should see it in your pipeline. And if it's not in your pipeline and those numbers don't add up, then buckle up and get to work, because there's more leads that need to get in there.
That sounds like such a great tool, because I know there's lots of little individual pieces that you can get out there that could do each step of those things, but then trying to get them all to talk to each other is that. So I really appreciate that you've popped that together, and yeah, absolutely.
It only took me 4 years.
There you go. Oh my gosh. And now it's ready for the world. And so I'm really excited that we get to we get to talk about that now at this point. And yeah, absolutely unplanned, because there's no question. I have no script for these conversations. Anyone that's listened to any of these episodes before, no two episodes are the same. And I'm definitely going to be looking at that myself, because that's something that personally, to be able to do that and have somewhere where I can have everything in that one spot. And it's good too, because again, when we're looking at that resilience aspect of sales, too often people are getting towards the end of the month, the end of the quarter, the end of the financial year, and they've got like an extraordinary amount of stress on themselves because they haven't kept an eye on these numbers early enough to be able to make sure that there's sufficient leads and potential buyers at different stages of that pipeline to be able to get those over the line in time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why, you know, like a first meeting, maybe 20% of first meetings close. You should be able to look at all of your first meetings and know what the total revenue you should be expecting out of that column. And maybe the second column is proposals, and maybe 50% of proposals close. And when you're in negotiation, maybe 70% of those close. And when you total all those up, that's the truest indication of what your end of month, end of quarter, and end of year will look like, right? So we just built that for our own agency, for our sales team. And while we built it, we were like, yo, if that's valuable for us. Oh, and you know what, Stacey? My CFO looks at those numbers every Friday morning and totals up all the sales guys. And by Friday afternoon, I get a forecast of what the end of the month and the quarter and the year is going to look like based on the leads we already have. And on Friday afternoon, that's when I determine if I'm going to happy hour to celebrate or if I'm going to stay home and cry. Right? It's the easy. Most business owners don't have any way of knowing what their forecast is going to look like. So I just try to solve that problem because I solved it already for myself.
It's a perfect way to do it, isn't it? Because you become your own case study as well. But the importance of having one dashboard, I guess it is, isn't it, really, to be able to then look at those numbers and then look at them on a regular basis, because I think sometimes people might be a little bit scared to look at the numbers because they tell the truth. And yes. So having that process, as you said, you guys are doing it on a Friday. But for, you know, anyone, whether they're actually a solo person building their business, whether they're a big company, then having that that routine, that consistency, that structure in how they then monitor those and then keep that updated. And I can imagine too, for a sales leader, that can be an incredible coaching tool as well.
Yes. Yeah, I think there's a lot of sales leaders that were just great salespeople, or maybe I should say the best salesperson at the organization. And in many cases, the first salesperson, maybe not the best. And then they end up taking their strategies, which may not be the best, and they push it across an organization. But the truth is, when we become better educators, we become better salespeople. Right? Because they first have to learn. The prospect needs to learn about your solution. And we have to make it really easy for them. I look at this like you don't want to give them your prospect a big something to digest, something that they're not going to be able to go through in one sitting. So instead of like a big burrito that's like this big, and there's no way you can eat all that in one sitting and you can't digest it, and people won't be craving more. I think of these little videos, even proposals, to be better like a little appetizer size enchilada. Just a couple of ingredients, not a whole big ass burrito, but just a one bite thing, because you want them craving more and you want them coming back for questions and you want them to be excited.
You got me hungry now talking about food. As you said, rather than that giant burrito, it's like, okay, maybe it's tapas or it's some yum cha.
Yes.
You could just go and get that little piece, and it's like, I like that. I'm going to grab a little bit more of that.
Yes. So resist the temptation of teaching them everything you're going to do in the project and stay at a high level. Just like trim the tops of the trees at a 30,000 foot view, and don't go down into the soil and talk to them about, you know, all the molecular organs organisms that are in the soil and stay. Instead, just trim across the top, allow them to process that, and give them your calendar link to follow up for more meetings. And then once you send it, most salespeople, not the resilient ones, but most salespeople send and run. They send their proposal or they send the information and they sit back like they've got hot girl syndrome, like everybody's got to come to them. And instead, you know what I'm talking about. Instead, the best salespeople show up again, even if nobody replies, with an open, loving heart, because they know that 94% of deals requires 5 interactions without anybody following up from the prospect side. And we still show up as the great salesperson with an open, loving heart.
So to do that, there are a couple of examples that you can perhaps give us as far as, okay, so that person has sent that proposal off and they're, as I said, sitting back. I love that you called it the hot girl syndrome.
You know it's hot girl syndrome, right? You know I'm right. Like, they don't have to work that hard. And everybody gets offended if the hot girl doesn't reply back to them. Sales is different. Sales, we take a beating and we find joy in it. Next time you talk to Neil, you should find out Neil's strategy on how many times a salesperson in his organization that's applying for a job, how many times that salesperson needs to get rejected. Because rejection management and perseverance is all of the differentiator between a average just getting by salesperson and the one that exceeds. Like, Neil will tell you that if somebody's going to hire for a job in his organization, that salesperson's going to get rejected 7 times for this job. Sounds extreme, but you know what you just identified? Who's going to show up on Monday and have the right mental makeup to persevere by Friday, even when the prospect isn't replying?
That's such a good thing to do, isn't it? Is build that into the recruitment process. So again, you're already doing some of the work, because otherwise other people are going to be hiring someone and then putting them out there and sending them off into the wild. And then, you know, 2 weeks later going, my gosh, this person just doesn't have it.
They don't have it. So that's one of Neil's many genius points is rejection. And most of us that are business owners think that's cruel and unusual. We probably live in a world today where rejecting somebody from a job is cruel and unusual, but it's a requirement for a resilient salesperson.
Love that. All the odds there. Rejection is a requirement for resilience, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
God, I love alliteration.
Me too.
It's just so good. But yeah, so I love that. I love how you've just shared those breakdowns, the important factors there about that, where the rare resilience is important, but also just those tools. I just think that that's absolutely super. And particularly for, as you said, the business owner, someone that has not had that exposure to sales, is finding that they're quite intimidated. And perhaps these people might be the ones that might be on the fence to, oh, do I hire someone to sell for me? But I think that's where it's a good opportunity now to know that, potentially have a look at some of these tools, find that process, test it out, and potentially they could be doing that themselves rather than then bringing on a 6-figure hire that they're probably stressed about. And are they going to bring back 2x, 3x, 5x that and make it worthwhile? So I think there's some really, really good, really good tips in there on that. And there was something I'd love to loop back to as well when we're talking about resilience and having to step out there and try these new things. When you did first start teaching what you discovered as far as the things in your agency as well, what was that like to then take that leap from Todd in agency land, building the business himself, to Todd on a stage sharing your story, your experiences, and educating? What was that like, making that leap for you?
Well, one, I was resilient and I got rejected a bunch of times. So many times that it required my wife to coach me up. so many times because I was ahead of my time and it took a pandemic, right? And eventually my wife said to me, is your information at its highest level? And I want everybody to think about this in your sales process. Is your information at its highest level, or can you go up another level? My wife said, so it's so valuable that they can't ignore you. And I thought, well, you know, I think I could go up another level. She goes, great. That means there's an opportunity for you to become a better teacher. And we know that those better teachers close the deal. And I said, okay, well, I could do that. She goes, great. Get back to work, dude. Don't quit before the miracle. So I stayed on the path and eventually got my yes. But when I got my yes to step on the Tony stage, I didn't look at it like it was your normal everyday opportunity. I also knew who I was. And who was I? I was not the person that was going to make one visit. I checked that box. I got to the mountaintop. Yo, I'm done. I can tell this story for the rest of my life. That ain't me. I was going to be there forever. And what that meant to me was take the time, understand the impact that this moment will have on your career, and pour yourself into it and get into the iteration of the process. Get your material so dialed in that you can't be ignored, that they have to invite you every time, that the impact that it has on the audience is so profound that people are closing a deal 24 hours after your training. Like, I've had trainings for Tony Robbins where people have used my ghosting strategy and closed a $10 million deal from somebody that was ghosting them, or somebody in the audience that closed a $100,000 deal within 24 hours of training with me, or people that their revenue went up $119 million in 90 days using my strategies. No bullshit, right? So I recognize that that's the opportunity. And when your information gets refined and polished to the point where other people can take action, you can go from being somebody with a crazy idea. Why would I want to do that? That isn't scalable. What do you mean? I want to create videos for people? That seems like an enormous waste of time. And teach people how to close more deals. And once I started doing that, then I think last year I did 115 trainings for businesses.
Oh.
Right? Game changer. So what kind of a blessing do you want to be in people's lives? And what type of polish and iteration is required in order for you to be able to bless people all over the world? Because I just got to that impact point in my life. And when you get to the impact point, I have no doubt that each and every one of you are either at the impact point or on the cusp of breakthrough in the impact point. But I need to tell you that when you get to that impact point and revenue starts to flow in from you because you're impacting many people's lives, not only does your whole life look different and your house and your vacations and the material shit, but your heart swells from the joy of getting, like, now I'm at the point, I'm not bragging. I just want people to know that there's another level inside them waiting to be claimed. And I'm now at this point where maybe 2 to 3 times a week, people are sending me their stories of breakthrough and transformation because they're following my strategies. And that for me is the greatest feeling because I know that I'm helping other people celebrate with their families on an exponential level worth every iteration.
So that's just so good. That's so good. And I love that your wife, again, such an important resilience rock is having that support around you, isn't it? Having those people that are going to support and encourage you and push you and be the, I like to look at it as people are stars or black holes. And so you have your stars that shine the light and the black holes that suck the life out. And I love that she said about, again, just having that real honest assessment of, is the information up to scratch? And I think the line there is, that was Steve Martin originally, wasn't it? That said, be yes. So they can't ignore you. And then obviously Cal yes. Newport went on to write the book on that, which is a fantastic book. But I love that. But I'm guessing, like, there, to me, there could be a potential there for someone to maybe get a little bit stuck in the fact that they're going, could they get to the point where they're either too self-critical about, oh no, it's not good enough, it's not good enough, it's not good enough. Or on the flip side, perhaps to be a bit, oh yeah, it's great, and just run with it. So what advice would you have for somebody that was either stuck in one of those two places when they've taken on that board? They go, okay, is my information like the best it can be?
Yeah, nobody's expecting your videos to be Spielberg. Okay. Like, they're not expecting your sales video to be so good that there's Ewoks going by. Like, they're not expecting, like, Luke, I am your father. They're not expecting that. What they really are expecting is a human-to-human connection through the lens and them knowing and feeling that they can trust you. Okay? That's the first part. The second part is trust your instincts. Know there's always another level inside you. The acronym that you should live by is CANI. Constant and never-ending improvement. Buckle up, bitches. We got a long way to go, okay? And every day, just commit yourself to refinement, because you already know that comfort, if you get too comfortable in your sales process, I'm good enough. Comfort's the enemy of growth. Keep yourself in growth stage and evaluate it on your own, but you aren't the ultimate arbiter if this is good enough. The ultimate one is the prospect. Because if you refine your process so much, you become such a gifted teacher that you're teaching visually, because we're all visual decision makers, visual daters. We go to Yelp to look at food before we even step foot into a restaurant, because we'll know it when we see it. Your prospects are the same way with your proposals. Make it visual. And in doing so, you will know when your close rate goes up. If your close rate does not go up, don't say, this shit doesn't work. Stay in the constant and never-ending improvement and iterate. And you will discover that people start buying from you if you humbly listen to their feedback and you make rapid iterations. People will buy from you at a faster rate and you'll start celebrating more often and everything will become more fun again.
I love that. I love that. Again, the constant and never-ending improvement. For me, my process is like a commitment to a continuous improvement. And it's being committed to excellence, but not in an obsessive, not actually being able to appreciate the moment and all of those type of things. I think it's one of those things, isn't it? Is to be able to have that foot in both worlds, isn't it? Is that being able to look to the future and being able to go, okay, how can I improve? How can I be of greater yes. service? How can I be a greater impact? But also be super, super present in those moments. And I think also too, for me, like what's popped into my head is creating these videos for prospects. You have to be super present in that moment to actually come across genuinely, authentically. And there's an element of vulnerability, isn't there, there? Because I know personally, like I found, particularly once COVID hit and all that sort of stuff, I struggled to deal with this little camera. Give me a stage with 1,000 people and I'm like, hello, I love this. But there's an element of vulnerability, a little bit of intimacy, isn't there? When
yes,
you're actually
beautiful.
Working with a camera.
It's beautiful because the person on the other end is requiring a human to human connection before they say yes. They need to see that you focus on them. It's just like dating. Like you would never go on a second date with somebody who was like this the whole time, right? So it's all about the eye contact. The second part is they need to know that you're sincere and you have their best interest at heart and that you're going to go above and beyond for them. If you could show that through the lens, even if you're a little nerdy, even if you're a little awkward, even if in your head you've lied to yourself and made yourself believe that you don't have a face for the camera, all that bullshit, you put that aside. If you could make people on the other end know that you're going to help them achieve their goals, you have their best interests at heart, you're going to do it within budget. Oh, and you've done this for people just like them. They're going to buy from you because part of the equation, think of a math formula, like a fraction. The top are all the benefits, but when somebody's buying, they also have the risk underneath. Alex Hormozi teaches this. And if you can take the risk off the table while applying the benefits, they will buy from you faster because now you're removing the risk. This is where like guarantees come in. This is where testimonials come in. And you make it easier for somebody to say yes, maybe payment plans, maybe a phase one, phase two will help them better see. And at the end of phase one, we'll reassess. Like all of those parts help you get to the magic word of yes more often. And you need to rethink of your sales process all the time because there's always a better way to present your information. You're just at the best way now. It's just like when you look back at a photo of yourself from a couple of years ago, maybe before you started exercising or being conscious of your food or your sleep. And then you look at it now, you're like, oh, I'm in such a better place. That iteration process in sales, essential. That is, if you want to win more often. If you're good being comfortable and coasting, well, this is probably the wrong podcast for you.
Perfect. Yeah. Comfort, coasting, and complacency.
Did I do that?
Going to kill it. I just added the complacency.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, the rule of three, isn't it? We've got to put those things in the threes. Look, this has been super, super valuable. And I know for our listeners, people that are watching it on YouTube, this is going to be one that you're going to need to go back and probably listen to a number of times and make sure that you take some notes, because I know I'm actually looking forward to editing this one personally, because I know that there's some things there that I want to make some notes on, and I want to really test and the whole test, measure, and iterate process with everything we do. So this has been super, super valuable. And also I mentioned at the beginning, I think maybe it might have been when we were just before we hit record, that there's one more little twist to the resilience rocks part. You know, we talk about resilience, we talk about sales, we talk about leadership, but the rock part is a musical twist. And I find that music is just one of the best ways to change your state in a short period of time. So it's a resilience rock in my world. And I know that you're doing so many events with Tony, and obviously music is such a big part of those events for those reasons. So what I'd love to know for you personally, do you have, or what is your go-to song when you need to shift your energy super quick, 3 to 5 minutes, whether it's up, down, get yourself grounded? What's your go-to song that you would play?
It's lyric-centered, and you could be the greatest. You could be the best. You could be the King Kong banging on your chest, you know, the Hall of Fame song. And it's really up to you if you're willing to put in the work. And 90% of people aren't, which means if you are and you keep yourself stuck in constant and never-ending improvement, you'll be in the Hall of Fame. And I think that is a great reminder. And I think about it all the time because it's a choice. You could do this. You could be the greatest if you make the choice. And the choice is always commitment, iteration, refinement, and resiliency. And before you know it, you'll be sitting in the Hall of Fame.
That is perfect. And so I'm going to go and add that. There's a Resilience Rocks playlist on Spotify. And I'm like, why did I miss that song? It is so perfect. I'm actually going to go and play it after we speak. So thank you so, so much, Todd. This has just been such a superb conversation on so many levels. I've loved it. And I'm sure our listeners are going to love it as well. So for those who have gone, oh my gosh, I need more Todd, where can they find more of you after they listen to this today?
Yeah, thank you. Couple places. ToddHartley.com is my site. I do sales trainings for teams and for individuals. Like right now, I'm in the middle of an 8-week mastermind teaching people how to use these strategies to close 75% more deals. And that's ToddHartley.com. And I have a marketing agency called Wirebuzz. And I also have Clarity.video, which is my video selling AI-driven tool that'll help you convince and convert at faster rates. That's Clarity.video.
Amazing. Well, I will make sure that all of those links are below where everyone is watching and listening to this video. Again, thank you so much, Todd. And to our fabulous listeners, thank you again for joining us today on Resilience Rock Sales. And until we see you next time, be your best. Thanks for joining us again this week on Resilience Rock Sales.
Don't just listen though, take action. The best sales professionals are always learning. Head over to resiliencerocks.com now to go backstage and get the resources mentioned today to help rock your sales goals.